night. Now, may have you ever been wondering whatever happens when you die? I know I covered little bits and pieces of this before, but I want to try to do a more thorough job this morning. I think you need to have a real understanding of this, because there'll be people who will ask you, what happens when we die? Where do we go? What happens? Our bodies stay in the grave for a while. Our bodies go in the grave. I wish I had Dave. Oh, David Wise here today. Let's see if I can find my stuff I need to write with. Might be in trouble. Might be in trouble. I'm not seeing a whole lot in here. Somebody want to go back in the fellowship hall and get me something to write with? I don't see anything up here. Okay. Love the Lord with all your heart. Ha ha. That's good. That's good. Oh, must have been on there for a while. Not coming off very good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Here we go. Everything I'm going to put on here is based on the scripture we just read. This is our planet Earth. Cemetery. Cemetery. That's you. All right. Three compartments taken from Luke chapter 16, we have three compartments, and I do believe that these compartments are located in the center of the earth. We have a great gulf fixed. Fixed means you can't go across. Abraham's bosom, also known paradise, also known as paradise. To us, we know heaven. I'll explain that. Here's the other compartment. Hades. Hell. Gehenna. Tartarus. Bottomless pit. All that. There's no change takes place here. The change takes place here. This remains the same for a while, till after the great white throne judgment. We had our study in Revelation that said that death and hell are cast where? Into the lake of fire, which lasts forever. So for right now, it's here. Where's hell? I believe it's located in the center of the earth. A drill team many years ago, somewhere in the 60s or 70s, I will find out and I will try to get that literature. A Siberian drill team, Russian drill team, was drilling in Siberia. Probably the deepest depth that anybody has ever drilled. It was a dry hole. They got nothing out of it except terrible screams. They heard terrible screams. Does any of you people remember that? I see a couple heads wagging. Yes. You know, it didn't get much publicity. I guess you can't imagine why, huh? The devil wanted to make sure you didn't hear that. And don't you think for a minute that there hadn't been squashed. Nobody wants you to know about that. But they heard terrible screams. Obviously, their drill bit went into a cavern, to a place called hell. Bible says it's in the lower parts of the earth. Our Savior descended into the lower parts of the earth. Ephesians chapter 6. He descended in the lower parts of the earth. 2 Peter says he went there and he preached to the spirits that were held captive during the time of the preparation of the building of the ark. 2 Peter. He went there and he preached to the spirits in prison during the time of the building of the ark. Now, why do you suppose that there was a group of people there that God had to go talk to, that Jesus went and talked to? Why do you suppose that is? What was Noah doing? What was he doing? You know. He was building the ark. He didn't have time to be doing what? He did some preaching, but very little. He was a preacher of righteousness, but he did very little preaching. Now, we serve a God who gives everybody a fair chance. Understand me. We serve a God that gives everybody a fair chance. And so these spirits had to be preached to because evidently Noah didn't get a chance to do it. Because that's what the Bible says in Peter. He went, and you can read it, 2 Peter, I have it written down for you. 1 Peter, I got ahead of myself. Write this down, 1 Peter chapter 3, 19 and 20. In fact, if you want to even find it for me, you can read it for us. Whoever finds it, reads it. 1 Peter 3, 19 and 20. Our Lord went and preached to the spirits that were held in prison during the time of the building of the ark, the preparing of the ark, for the simple reason that they had to be given the opportunity to get saved. Everybody gets an opportunity to get saved because we serve a God that's fair and equal to all people. Okay? Now let me get to the portion of scripture that we read, chapter 16. The rich man, clothed in purple fine linen, fared sumptuously. Lazarus was a poor man. He was laid at the gate of the rich man. He was full of sores. It's interesting that we have two contrasts. One man is faring sumptuously. The other man is existing on the crumbs that fall from his table. We have quite the contrast here in the physical life. We have a real contrast. Another contrast takes place. The beggar dies. He's carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And by the way, not only is Lazarus carried here, but every person from the time of Adam to the time of our Lord's ascension is here. Now, Thessalonians says man is made of body, soul, and spirit. When we die, body's here in the grave, wherever, and if some decide to be cremated, God has your DNA, so don't you worry. God knows exactly how to give you a new body. He has your DNA. The body's here, awaiting to be called. Thessalonians says the trump of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ, I can't do that because they're already, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's only three people whose bodies did not see corruption. You already know one body that didn't see corruption. That was Christ. It was already prophesied in the Psalms that his Holy One would not see corruption. Who are the other two people that didn't see corruption? Does anybody know? Enoch, that's one that most people miss. One day he was walking with God, and one day he was not, for God took him. So his body did not see corruption. Now you see, everybody that goes in the grave will see corruption, including everybody here. If the rapture don't take place, we'll all see corruption. Jesus' body did not see corruption. Enoch's body did not receive corruption. And then what's the other one? Starts with an E. Elijah. Now, since these two didn't receive corruption, it behooves me to think that these are probably going to be the two that will appear in tribulation period to actually know what it is to die, because they will die. And it appears to me that I think it's Elijah and Enoch that will probably come back and be those two that didn't never really, their bodies never seen corruption. But you see, that way, it's only Jesus whose body didn't receive corruption. He was the Holy One. You with me? All right, let's go a little further. In hell, he lifted up his eyes in what? Torment. I want you to notice something. When death occurs, the spirit still knows, can experience all the things that they experienced in the physical life. Taste, smell, heat, cold. They can experience all that. They're experiencing it. They're in torment. The rich man's in torment. And they see Abraham afar off. They see Abraham. And when they look over to Abraham, they see Lazarus. For the angels had carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom, or a place called paradise. And Abraham's talking. Evidently, they're able to communicate across this great gulf. Abraham said, and he said he was talking to the rich man, in your lifetime, you received good things, and Lazarus evil things. Now he's comforted, and you're tormented. See the contrast? He is comforted, but you're tormented. Well, then the rich man says, I want you to send message to my five brothers, lest they come to this terrible place, lest they come here. Okay? So in this place, we have the bottomless pit. We have the place where the angels that left their first estate, they would be the angels. They would be a third part of the heavenly host, or angels that are led in the rebellion in heaven before man was created. There was a rebellion in heaven. Lucifer led it. One third of the angels in heaven were influenced by Lucifer. So they lost their first estate, and they were cast out, and they were put, some of them, were put in chains of darkness, and they are waiting to be judged by you and me, and they are placed somewhere in here, Tartarus, Gehenna, the bottomless pit. It's all these. It's all these. And it's always referenced to being in the lower parts of the earth, the Bible says, and I'll show you where I'm getting this information. It's always in the lower parts of the earth. All right, now we'll need to skip to Ephesians, to the book of Ephesians, to give you the rest of the information. I don't know how much of this I'll be able to cover. I'm watching the time so you won't have to. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that our Lord led captivity captive when he died. There we go. Let's see. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended, Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 6 is the armor of God. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. I'm reading from chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 8. He therefore said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, when our Lord ascended, he came and he had to take all these souls that died, Old Testament, and people that died when Christ was walking on the earth, when Jesus walked on the earth, all those that died. And they're all waiting. Why are they waiting? Why are they here? They didn't ascend. They didn't go to heaven. Paul said, what did Paul say? To be absent in the flesh, to be what? Present with the Lord. Now, Paul couldn't say that for these folks. He couldn't say that. Paul didn't live during that time. But if Paul did live in that time, he couldn't say to die is to be present with the Lord. No, to die at that time would be present in paradise. What did the Lord tell the thief on the cross? The thief said, remember me. And the Lord said, today you shall be with me, what? Paradise. Now, here's what happened. All these saints were waiting because the Lord had to be first. Jesus had to be the first fruits of them that what? Slept. The term slept is sleeping, or they're in the grave. That means they're died. To get a new body, your body has to die to get a new one. It's got to die. Jesus taught that about the grain has to fall and it has to die before it bears much fruit. Jesus taught that. So the body has to die in order to get a new body. We won't have time to talk about that new body today. I'm trying to take care of this, Old Testament. So when Jesus ascended, now I'm going to read you what he did. It's clear. It tells us what he did. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? Listen to me. He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. There you have it. Okay. So Jesus came down here and he took all these. And now the Bible says when you die, to be absent in the flesh is to be present with the Lord. So now this has been eliminated. But guess what happens? The book of Isaiah chapter 5 says hell hath enlarged itself. For hell hath enlarged itself. Because God knows straight and narrow is the way, and few will there be that findeth it. The prophet already prophesied that hell hath enlarged itself. Unbelievers, this is where they're at, right here. Every unbeliever that dies, this is where they're at. However, if you're a believer today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, to be absent in this flesh is to be present with the Lord. And we get some kind of a body. And I have a little bit of time here. I got about 10 minutes. So let's talk about that form that we're going to have. It's not the permanent one, but it's a form. It is a form. We got to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 5. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Bear with me. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 spoke of the angels that left their first estate. Did I give you that? Maybe. Oh, I think I already gave you that. I'd already given you that. Okay. Bear with me. I got to get some more material. By the way, this message came about because we are studying the mysteries of heaven in our study group. We're studying the mysteries of heaven. And so what we refer to this is the intermediate hell, and this paradise was referred to as the intermediate heaven. Now that's been done away with, and Isaiah said that hell hath enlarged itself. Today when we die, the body goes to the grave, but our soul and spirit go to the Lord. And it says there that in 2 Corinthians, I think I was trying to find 1 Corinthians. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let me get that. I want to read it for you. 1 Corinthians 5. Oh, I was there. Just didn't go far enough. All right. Now, this is the only reference that we have to our body when we leave this earth. Chapter 5, verses 1. 1 Corinthians. Oh, Roger, you're so mad today. Paul, why did you do that? Why did you make two of them? Here we go. Oh, here we go. For we know that if our earthly house, okay, that's our body, that's this house. We know that if our earthly house, and it's also referred to as a tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now this is the section, this is a part that is the existence of those who died and are in heaven. This is their existence right now. It's talking about this existence. They are present with the Lord. But here is what's happening. We are groaning earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. That's the permanent body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. And now that's referring to our physical body. Now is referring to our tabernacle here on earth. And we also groan for a new body. And if some of you aren't having the pains that some are, you someday we will, and you'll be groaning for a new body too. And so now it's talking about this tabernacle, and we also groan being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. And you know that's talking about the corruption, our body in the grave. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who's given us also the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home here in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. And then it goes on to say that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. Then we have the order of which this is going to happen. Then we have the order in which it's going to happen. It says it's going to be with the trump of God. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." That's talking about our bodies. That's talking about the bodies. We're going to be reunited. We're going to have a new body, though. Not this one that's seen corruption. We're going to get our new bodies. This is the order in which it's going to take place. There's going to be a trump sound. The voice of the archangel is going to sound, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. First. Then, by the way, if you happen to be living here on the earth when the rapture takes place, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it says then that we are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The transformation is going to be in the twinkling of an eye. That's how quick the change is going to take place. And then we'll get our new bodies. So I did cover what I needed to. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to talk about our new bodies. What will our new bodies be like? Well, to know what our new bodies are going to be like, we have to study Jesus' body. Because the Bible says we're going to be what? Like him. We'll see him as he is, for we will be like him. We're going to have a new body like his. And then we're going to see what all he did when he was here after he was resurrected. He did all kinds of things after he resurrected. And we'll have a body like his, and we're going to find out what our new body is going to be like, because we're going to study what Jesus' body was all like. Amen? Do we have anything else we need to share? Anyone have a testimony? We kind of do things a little different today. Anyone have a testimony before we leave, before we go home? All right. Anyone else? Amen. Anybody have any questions with what I dealt with here this morning? Anybody have any questions about this? I think that once you see it and you understand it, it's real simple. Jesus had to be the first fruits. That was the reason for this Abraham bosom. That's what it was all about, because Jesus had to be first. Had to be first. It's much simpler now that Jesus is resurrected, because as Paul said it, he said it real clear. to be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. So this body that our loved ones have is certainly one that's identifiable, because people who had an out-of-body experience went to heaven and they'd seen people they knew. So we know it's identifiable. We'll be able to recognize people, even in whatever form it is, till they get their new bodies, okay? All right, time is up. It's time to go home. Would you stand? I enjoyed this teaching lesson. What it was a teaching lesson. As I was contemplating what to share today, I thought, you know, all of us have been affected by death some way or another. We have loved ones that someday we want to see. And I've always been curious about, what are they doing? What kind of bodies do they have? What's going on in heaven now? I've always been curious about that. So I've been doing some studying for you, so that I think that maybe perhaps you're as curious as I am. You know, the Bible has more to say about hell than heaven. Do you know why I think that is? God's not willing that any should perish. He is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Because when you study about hell, it's a terrible place. Terrible place. He doesn't want anybody there. So if you have loved ones, be praying for them to get saved. They need to get saved, so they don't go to that awful place. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity I had today to share your precious word. And if there's any here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I ask that they will take the time to ask you to forgive them of their sins and let them invite you to come and live in their heart, that they can also have a new body that will be fitted for life eternal and not for destruction and torment. Thank you for loving me so much and given me so much in this lifetime. I thank you so much for good, wonderful parents and grandparents that loved you and loved me. And thank you, Lord. I just appreciate that I've had these people in my life, and I'm here today because of your grace. Because of your grace, I stand in your presence today. Thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you. And I pray for anyone today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that they'll do so today before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.